Join me for an intriguing conversation with 11-year-old Jackson Anderson, where he talks about his exploration in the outdoors and how he reconciles the feelings of fear and potential injury with excitement and enthusiasm in order to make a decision of whether to continue with a particular activity or not. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Welcome to The Avid Adventurer. I'm your host, Dave Secunda, founder of Avid for Adventure, and I am psyched you're here. Each week, just like today, I'll bring you an interview with a kiddo, young adult, or parent as they share not only the details of their noteworthy outdoor pursuits, but also how they navigate risk, challenge, setbacks, and service in their journey. It'll bring a smile to your face, and you'll feel your heart expand as you get to know the inner landscapes of these athletes. After listening, I know you'll feel uplifted and ready for your own next avid adventure. So let's dive in. All right, my friend, welcome to the Avid Adventurer. I'm so happy that you're taking some time to share some of your passions and excitements about the outdoors. Take a minute and introduce yourself to our guests. Share your name, where you live, how old you are. And maybe one thing you love to do outside.
Well, my name is Jackson Anderson. I live in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. I'm 11 years old, and something I really enjoy doing outside is rock climbing, mountain biking, and just hanging out with people.
Okay, I love it. Jackson, share a little bit more. If you had to complete the sentence, if you really knew me, you would know that. Go ahead and complete that for us to give people a little more understanding of who you are.
If you really knew me, you'd know that I am a jack of all trades when it comes to a really odd skill set.
Oh, tell me one odd skill set that you have. Tell me something unusual.
My brain stopped for a second. I'm sorry.
No problem.
But I can break dance like half. I can break dance pretty well, and then I also, for some reason, I'm just really, really good at beatboxing.
Excellent. Beatboxing, breakdancing, rock climbing, mountain biking. Thank you, Jackson. That's a good, diverse introduction there. We'll dig in to these and go a little bit further here. So tell me a little bit about how you got introduce. What's your experience with Avid for Adventure? Because then I'll go in a little bit deeper there and ask you some questions.
So I've been doing like the Avid day camp, like paddleboarding, mm-hmm. for like 4 or 5 years. One of my friends, he got me introduced to like the survival skills and most of the other Avid day camps, and about like three years ago was my first experience with the Avid overnight camps, which I quickly got really into.
Nice. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you some questions about your experience on overnight camp, but just because there are a lot of parents that listen as well, what was your favorite day camp or favorite day camp activity, just so folks can pick out something that's cool?
I really enjoyed when we did these survival skills day camp. We had this little project where we had to make kind of like a lean-to, like rain shelter, and a bunch of other like survival skills.
Interesting. And so you kind of created a lean-to shelter from things that you actually found in the wilderness that you could sleep in overnight?
Yep. Well, we didn't actually, but we could have.
You could have. Okay. I love it. Survival skills. That's one that I haven't had the opportunity to do, but that sounds very, very cool. So then it sounds like the activities that you really love, mountain biking, rock climbing, are those things that you discovered at camp, or were you doing before you came to camp?
Those are things. Well, the rock climbing, I've always been like a climber. Mm-hmm. And mountain biking, I just like riding my bike around. But I really got into them when I got into the Avid camps.
Got it. You described yourself before we started recording as kind of an adventure kid. Like, there's a lot of different things you like do, like you were describing riding your hoverboard and having a crash, and kind of relaying just different activities that were kind of like that. Do you consider yourself a high adventure kid?
Yes, I do consider myself like really adventurous, but also I spend a lot of my time like playing video games. So I've got like a foot in each world.
Got it. How does that work, keeping a foot in each world? Like, how do you, when do you break from the video games and go outside? And when do you break from outside and go play video games? Like, what I'm hearing is you have a lot of diverse interests, and how does it all shake out?
Basically, the only thing that's keeping me from doing one or the other the entire time mm-hmm. is the fact that because I have ADHD, my brain gets incredibly bored with when mm-hmm. I do a bunch of stuff for a bunch of the same thing.
Got it.
So I'll be like playing video games and I'm like, I'm bored of this. And then I'll go like hang out with friends or something. And then I say, I'm bored of this. And I go back and play video games.
All right. Well, having ADHD, how does the outdoors fit for you? Does it give you a good variety? Do you stay engaged if you're out on a mountain bike or rock climbing?
I do stay engaged. But if I see something interesting, I will completely halt and I will like look at that thing and like experiment as much as I can.
Interesting. And so tell me a little bit about that. Does that, like when you're with other kids that might not have ADHD, do you tell them that you have it, or do they think that's weird, or is it just part of who you are and everyone's just like, all right, Jackson's really focused on the caterpillar right now?
First and third one, not the second one. Like, they're not like, they don't think it's like weird or something.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of accept it, even if it gets annoying sometimes. Did I say sometimes? I mean all the time.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Well, from what you're saying, you know, it seems like this thing that keeps you focused, highly focused for a period of time and then moving on, also sounds like a bit of a superpower. It sounds like you're also able to really focus in very intensely. Is that true?
Yes, that is one of the pros of the like type of ADHD I have. If I want to, I can stay focused on one thing and not even notice if something else happens.
Wow. Well, Jackson, I want to let you know that's really hard for a lot of people. So definitely, I get that some of the things are hard as far as needing to change gears a lot, but being able to focus intensely, that's a superpower as well. So let's talk a little bit about the outdoors. You had shared an experience that happened at overnight camp, which sounded a little bit scary when another camper got hurt mountain biking. So go ahead and share what happened there, because I'm going to ask you a few questions about that. And other listeners might think, well, why are you sharing an experience like this? But I really liked kind of some of the things you said about it. So share that experience and then let's talk about it a little bit.
Okay, so we were doing like a mountain biking activity for the overnight camp. And on the trail, there was this part where it was kind of like a really steep downhill. narrow trail and then a really steep uphill. And you had to kind of keep a really good speed. I had like just gotten into mountain biking. And so I was kind of being cautious. So I kind of slowed down there and was able to make it up. But the person behind me, he was comfortable with mountain biking, so he kept his pace and he saw me slow down. He tried to brake, but when he did, he did the back brake and it kind of skidded, and there was a few rocks on the side of the trail, so his back tire hit them and he kind of fell forward. And it was scary because all I heard was a crash and like the sound of air coming out of the tire.
And it sounded like he injured his leg. Is that right?
Yeah. He had to get a splint and had to get like help walking back to the parking lot.
And did you help like collect sticks for the splint and help out as well?
Yeah, I tried to help as much as I could. But since I was a camper, not a counselor, I didn't really do much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. And so, and just for our listeners, he was okay on the other end of this, but
yeah, he was fine.
Yeah. So, but you described that as kind of a scary experience. Do you remember, the feeling inside when it actually happened? Like, can you describe that feeling, like what it feels like in your body when you're scared, when you hear something like that?
I remember feeling really, really terrible because I knew it was my fault that that happened to him. And I felt really terrible. And I just kind of remember just like, my mind going a million miles an hour thinking what could have possibly happened. And I remember one of the explanations being that his bike had like just blown and then just fallen. So
got it. Did he blame you for it?
No,
just that little self-judgment there. It sounds Yeah. I hear you. I get that too sometimes. And that's a hard thing to let go of. I assure you, I will release you from that judgment. As your instructors, I'm sure told you, when you're mountain biking, you got to keep that safe distance. And so it sounds like it didn't work out in this particular situation, but the reason I'm asking about this is because then after that, when we kept talking, you said, well, I still love mountain biking. Is that true? Do you still, like, even though you had that scary experience, get out there and still get at it mountain biking?
I still really like mountain biking, but it's not, it's not like a daily thing. I like it, but I don't seek it out. I usually really like it, like when we do the camps and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't purposefully say, hey, let's go to North Table and mountain bike or something.
Yeah, got it. And so, what does it feel like when you're having a really good time on a mountain bike?
I can't really describe it because I'm feeling really excited and also scared. Like I'm always like whenever I'm doing something like that, being scared is a thing. Like that, it's going to happen.
Interesting. So tell me about how you manage that feeling of being scared but also having fun. Like how do you walk that line? You know, why do you choose to continue to do things even though they're scary and you have that feeling inside?
Because I started doing it knowing that there are risks involved. Like I knew that was going to happen when I started to mountain bike.
Both the feeling of being scared and that sometimes things happen, like with your friend where he hurt his leg?
Yeah.
Got it. So going in, it sounds like you kind of go in, as people say, with your eyes wide open, like that there are risks involved, and they're kind of within your expectation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. How do you decide when something's too big of a risk for you to take on? Like you were talking about a terrain park. Share what you said about the terrain park and one of the elements.
Well, like there's no like line. It's just sometimes my brain's like, hey, my brain's just like, no.
No.
Even though I've done stuff that's worse than that and been fine, it's just like a thing.
Yeah, like you have this inner knowing, I'm not going to try that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people call that judgment. that's another superpower. It's a good one to be able to listen to that inner voice that just says no sometimes.
More to come in just one moment. Stay with us.
Why is Avid for Adventure voted one of Outside Magazine's best places to work year after year? Because when you work here, your office is the outdoors, atop mountains, in rivers, and on trails, alongside colleagues that share your passions. Your to-do list will consist of teaching curious kids how to paddle, climb, hike, bike, and thrive in the outdoors. This isn't your typical day job. It's an adventure you'll never forget. Come check out all the opportunities for this summer at Avid for Adventure at avid4.com and then click on jobs. We had another guest a few weeks ago, Rose Gadd, and she talked about when she's kind of learned in her family, when they're out looking at different situations, she looks at things and tries to put them into one of these three categories. And she thinks about what might happen if something goes wrong. And she thinks, is this bumps and bruises? Is this hospital bed? Or is this you're dead? You know what I mean? To just kind of assess the category. Is there anything like that that's going on inside of you? Or is it just this inner knowing like that's too much and I'm not going to do it?
It's kind of just, I can't explain it. It's like I look at something and my brain, no matter what type of thing it is, like even if it's something writing or reading or something, my brain looks at, okay, so how can this go wrong? What happens if this goes wrong? And what is the probability of it going wrong?
Mm. And then what do you do with that information once you think about that? Does that affect your behavior?
For most things, like I see... So for like, if something can go really, really bad, mm-hmm. but it's not a really big chance of it going bad, mm-hmm. I will probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if something, if it goes bad, it won't really end up bad. Maybe just like a bruise mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but it's a high probability of that happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I might not do it. It's
wow.
more like probability of something going wrong than what happens if it goes wrong.
Jackson, I think you have a future career in what's called risk management because you've actually described this, what's called the risk matrix, where we look at frequency, like how often it happens, and consequence, like how bad it could be. And you're totally right. You kind of make your decision depending on where it falls, you know. And if it's you know, low frequency and low consequences, yeah, go ahead and do it. If it's high frequency and high consequences, like it happens a lot and you're not going to live, then it's a hard no, you know. But those other two categories, that's kind of when you got to trust that inner counselor, that inner voice to go, no, just kind of hold off on it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's see. Any other memorable experiences in the outdoors that you think would be important for people to know about? Like any things that came up rock climbing for you?
For things that like people, if you're interested in like going to Avid or something, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that I'm not here to say like do it no matter what. You just have mm-hmm. you have to make sure you understand bad things could happen, and you have to understand like that you will be able to walk away if something like that happens.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I hear you.
With rock climbing and more specifically bouldering, there something bad could happen, but there's always, but like for bouldering, there's going to be someone that can help you if it happens.
Got it. And that something could be, you could like fall and twist your ankle or something like that. Yeah. Like,
as long as you know that you, that someone is there to help you, which is the case for most avid camps. Sorry, all avid camps.
Interesting. So do you have any advice for parents when they're thinking about how to evaluate if their kids are ready for some sort of an outdoor adventure? Whether, let's just say not at camp. Let's just say, you know, parents are with their kids and they're like, oh man, is my kid ready to try this? As a kid, what advice would you give for parents?
The decision should be at least 90 to 95% their decision, not your, it's not, you shouldn't tell your kid, hey, you should, you're going to do this, because they might really not want to do that. You should take their decision into as much consideration as possible.
Got it. I totally hear you. And what if your kid doesn't have that inner voice that you do, the one that says no? And as a parent, you know, you're kind of watching your kid do something that you think could be a hospital bed or you're dead. Like, how do you, what advice do you have for a parent in that circumstance?
I've seen some instances where kids will get hurt doing something and their parents just like get super worried and they start really like focusing on their kid and not, and like not letting them do stuff. Mm-hmm. I say, if it's not something really terrible, let them figure out, like let them try it, see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And let them understand that it's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I hear you. So what I'm hearing you say, Jackson, is that in general, you want to let the situation, the natural consequences, be the teacher, and to really, as a parent, try and limit stepping in only to those times where it's really a big safety issue. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, like only when, like if it's something like maybe you might not be able to do an activity, or if the consequences you might be hurt or you might need like to be bandaged up, just let them figure it out. But if it's something like you would have to go to the hospital for, I say stop it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I appreciate your guidance on that. I'll say, as a parent, like I'm a parent, it's always a tricky one. And so I appreciate your perspective as an 11-year-old to just say, hey, the natural consequences are important. You know, someday you may be a parent and it's one of the hardest things to stand by and watch something that you know could have kind of consequences where somebody could get even just a little hurt, because, you know, as parents, we really love our kids.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, Jackson. Well, anything else you want to share with listeners that you think is really important for people to know about you?
No.
Okay.
Got nothing.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, Jackson, I so appreciate your sharing with us your thoughts on being in the outdoors, of risk, of risk management and kind of how you look at all of these sorts of things. I think your perspective is going to be really refreshing and helpful for both other parents and other kids to hear. So I really appreciate your time today, Jackson.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I hope you enjoyed hearing from this avid adventurer as much as I did. Join me every week as we continue to explore the inner landscapes and outer accomplishments of our guests. And if you know someone who you think would make a great interview, please reach out to me at the email in the show notes. I look forward to reconnecting next week.